It demands that we tell sinners the whole truth.
We will not go quietly into the night.
Voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Christian Cornerstone Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Christian Cornerstone Podcast, brought to you by, well, actually, Equipped in Christ Podcast. I've got to get used to saying that. So anyways, welcome to the podcast. We are doing something a little bit different. I don't exactly remember why or what prompted us to do this, but we did kind of a Q&A session on this particular episode. Actually, I think it was because I had my hands full. Anyways, besides the point, we had a fun time, Michael and I did. I do want to point out, though, we had a little bit of a recording issue. Reviewed the audio, sounded great, but just a heads up, as you're listening to this, you might kind of see a little bit of a delay in the audio track. Tried to clean that up best we could, so this is what we have for you. But we had a fun time asking some questions. We just went through some cards. We'll talk more about that, share a little bit of insight where those came from within this episode. But we do want to encourage you guys to follow us, subscribe, do all of that good stuff. Share the show with your friends, whoever might be seeking to learn more of the biblical faith and living it out. I'd also encourage you to check out our Facebook group at CC412 Community Group, I believe is what we have it called on Facebook. You can go to our ministry page, CC412, or Christian Cornerstone 412 Ministries, which is the Facebook page. Find the group there. There's a lot going on. We'll talk more about this. A lot in development on our end. It's a fun time. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but we've got a lot. We'll share more as time progresses. My mind is going everywhere right now with all the excitement. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into this casual episode. And by the way, for the record, next week we will be diving into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to continue on with our study of the letter of 1 Corinthians. So without further ado, let's get to the show. And action. All right, so we don't have any. Man, you know, I was really thinking. We got to. All right, just keep going. Just keep going. Okay, so backstory, a second recording here. I butchered up. I botched it. The first one had some thoughts, and I was like, hey, we'll just go ahead and edit those out. Let's just go ahead and, you know, cancel this recording and start anew. Well, guess what? We're doing it again. And
you're
like
supposed to be
thoughts.
Casual, and Bill was being very casual.
I was, absolutely. But yeah, I just had some other thoughts, you know, the whole action thing, and I was thinking a whole, you know, news introduction, you know, how they got that whole "in this time on Dateline" and you know, however else it goes.
To catch a predator.
That was running through my head. There you go. And then you got that one, oh gosh, what's his name? I don't know his name. He always had a creepy voice in the 90s. Unsolved Mysteries guy.
Ooh.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Oh, he always scared me. It was his voice and his lack of facial expression, I should say. But anyways, back on track here.
What are we doing today, Bill?
Michael, we are playing cards, more or less. I actually have a deck in front of me, which I got, oh, I don't know, some time ago. They're called Talking Points. And there is some, I'll be completely honest, some of these questions might be cheesy, so I'm going to completely skip those if they come across. But
maybe
these are
share
a bunch
one
of different
cheesy
questions.
One, so the audience knows what cheesy is.
I'll do that. Well, the very first cheesy question I come across, I'll share that, and then we'll completely bypass the rest of them. But I have 4 cards here. It's actually a massive deck. It comes in a, you know, what? I don't know, an equal block, whatever that consists of. Over 100, maybe some odd cards. Box that it doesn't even say. But 4 different categories, and I cannot for the life of me tell you what they are, because as I shared previously, before we began recording, is the little card that tells you what the information is, you know, the color codes and all that. Mm-hmm. Most likely threw it away, just like everybody does with any deck of cards. We don't need this little copyright stuff or how to play cards card. Just get rid of it. It's taking up space. So I don't know for sure, but I will say that I most likely did that. So we've got 4 different color codes here: red, green, blue, and yellow. The red one, red cards are for red cards, and the green cards mean that they're green cards, and blue cards mean the green cards. Or, yeah, I'm getting my colors mixed up. But anyways, that, as far as I am concerned, is what it... Ooh, you know what? Okay. They do have it. I will share that on the first cards. So, and I don't even know how we can do this either. I'll just keep, you know what, we'll both ask these questions, depending on what it is. Well, I guess I've got the categories.
Bill, I've got the categories. You said it was yellow, green, blue, and like a pink or red, right?
Yeah, pink or red, depending on if you're colorblind or not.
I know.
Well, yellow is get to know you. Green is our life together. What does that mean? Blue is diving.
Did you Google?
Yeah, talking point cards, color categories. It says 200 cards in four categories.
Hold on.
Maybe this
say
is not
again?
A Christian one. Is there more than one talking point? Get the first date.
Actually,
oh, that's
is.
First date. That makes more sense. Get to know our life together. I was like, Bill, that doesn't... Talking point, what is it, Christian?
It's like, I don't think I feel comfortable answering these questions you're about to give me there, Bill.
Oh, Bible conversation? The Christian pack. Maybe that's what it is.
The Christian pack. That's the one, yeah. Yeah, we're not dating or anything.
I didn't know there was... They have regular for dating, too. Okay. Your faith journey, the world around us, personal beliefs, and Bible truths. That's a little more...
Okay.
Sounds a little better. Our life together.
So what's your...
If you're dating, how would you even know our life together? You know, I was like...
Oh, wow. Okay, that was great.
What's the first
I'm
one?
I'm so glad this is being recorded.
It's a Christian pack.
Okay, so the first one is red. Which one's a red one?
Bible truths.
Bible truths. Okay, well, this is kind of interesting, and I guess I'm kind of cheating here because it's got the answers at the bottom of the card. So, it's even got verses here, too. Okay. Pretty simple. One sentence answer, so feel free to go further than that if you'd like to. For whom did Jesus Christ suffer?
And maybe if you're listening, we'll take a moment to answer so you've got some time to think and then say it out loud wherever you are or in your head, and then Bill will tell us if we are correct. So can you say it again?
There you go.
We'll make them
for who did Jesus Christ suffer?
Do, 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 do. For all of us sinners. For the sinners.
For the sinners.
What is for the or
technically,
who is
yes.
for the sinners? For the human race?
There you go. Well, see, I don't know if that would work because we got...
I have
no,
to learn...
No, I would be giving the answers and then you'd be asking the whole what is or who is. Because like in Jeopardy, you have ask the question as the answer. Yeah. Okay, so Jesus Christ died for whom God the Father has given him. In other words, a select group. You know, only those who the Father has given. And it cites here... Well, it doesn't cite. It gives verses here. John 6, 37 to 40... And John 3:15-16. It's kind of interesting that it throws that one in there.
So these are not easy answers, right?
Well, it would depend. I think I haven't gone through these ones, but these red ones here are Bible trivia. I'm just opening half. Oh,
let's go to green or yellow. Your faith journey or the world.
Go to green or yellow. Okay. Well, I'm going with green because I like green.
Okay, that's the world around. It's going to
Yeah, I've got to censor this to see if it's cheesy or not. Oh, this one's easy.
Good.
What do you think the Bible teaches about... And by the way, this one doesn't have any answer. This is like a your own thoughts kind of thing. What do you think the Bible teaches about people of different religions?
They're going to hell. Well,
pretty much.
There's only one way... Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's kind of the answer there. If they're not going through Jesus to get to the Father, then there will be separation and judgment when Jesus comes back, and they will be separated.
Yeah,
but it's easier to say they're going to hell. But a friend of mine was like, but we wouldn't say that to anyone. I'm like, yeah, I know you wouldn't, but if we're talking offline, or you know, like between each other, I'm like,
right.
We would say that, but if... someone approached me, I'd say, well, like, we ease into the subject a little more than just like false religion.
Hi, my name is Michael White. Did you know you're going to hell? I think hell itself is an important aspect to cover because we need to have a right understanding of the judicial system of God. I was actually having a conversation, you might have seen some of it on my social media.
Having a nice little conversation with a coworker via Facebook and now via text, because I actually sent him a book that I started reading. And it's really interesting, by the way. I'll tell you that offhand. I don't want to give too much details to the conversation on air. But that's one of the things that brought up, as you know, it brings up the concept of hell, and you know, how can God do this? How can God send all these people? It's like, well, he's God, he's got a law in place, and there's a lot more in the theological explanation than what I'm going to be giving here. But I mean, these people are in rebellion to him. Things have been clearly seen, clearly evident through all sorts of different things, historically, archaeologically, scientifically. Creation itself speaks of the glory and the majesty of God, and even our logic and morals. So there's all that evidence there. But I mean, yeah, the Bible teaches it teaches that all these other different religions are false religions, are man-made religions, and within those other religions, they may point to a way, but they don't point to the way, and so that's a really big thing that they really more focus on the inward man than on Jesus Christ. So that particular answer could be drawn out more, but as Michael shared, actually as both of us, both our insights there are pretty much the truth is what God says about these other pagan religions. All right, so what's this other one that you want to go with? Yellow, blue? Green?
Yellow. Your faith journey.
Yellow. What is...
Well, these actually might be harder because they look personal on their examples. The example on the website.
It is more
looking
personal.
At your life so far, where do you think God is leading you? I'm like, ooh. You really got to know people you're playing these cards with, and we're talking to strangers, but let's go. That's what this is all about. Get to know us.
Well, I'm skipping a couple. Not skipping. I'm comparing them because I'm just a little curious. Like, what type of personal?
What is your deepest, darkest sin? Share that with us now. You're like, okay, maybe
there
not.
You go. Okay, so I got I pulled three cards, and I'm taking two of them because I think they both go together more or less. We have. I want to see which this one. Okay, yeah. Here's the first one. What has been the most draining thing in your life lately?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, kind of putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, I think it would
be. And I think you can take draining in a couple different ways. Because you can do like, you know, exhausting or time consuming or like work, for an example, in general. You get in off work and, oh, I'm so exhausted here. I mean, whatever it is, I don't know. Take it however you want to.
Yeah, I think previously when I was working a bunch of jobs, like one to the next, I would say like the physical side would have been draining.
Yeah.
But now that I'm working for myself, I think it's more of the maybe mental or emotional of just not knowing what's coming next or, you know, like, I need to make money. Okay, how am I going to do that? I think I know what I'm doing, but do I really know? And is it going to work? So that's just kind of like the unknown of like, I'm still going forward, you know? So it's not like it's holding me back, but it's just like it's a lot of work to be trying to figure out some of these things. So I would say that is kind of for me. How about yourself?
Well, I'd have to agree with that. And see, like, I don't know, I've talked about this in the past. I mean, as far as the work of developing all sorts of various things for the ministry itself, for me, it can be exhausting, and it can be in the mindset of, you know, I just want a break. I got to leave that censored for the time being. But spoilers, didn't want to give those away. I think in general, the work put into it can be draining, but at the same time, it's fun. Like, I mean, that's what I enjoy doing. And it's very hard for me not to continue writing or researching or whatever else goes into these things, because while it is at some point it's exhausting, it is also very exciting to do. So I'm kind of weird like that, but I think that's... That as far as ministry goes, I think that's the
having a business.
Yeah,
having it.
And I think that's where the excitement might come.
Yeah, because it's fun, but also like just a crazy life to live.
Yeah. So the second question here is, like I said, it kind of goes a bit, well, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking may not. What is the single...
Oh, man.
I'm going to put you in the doghouse here. What is the single biggest time waster in your life? And it says, what can you do about it? But I'm going to leave that out because I'm more curious about what the time waster is.
I think it's just social media, Instagram, my phone.
Yeah.
I think that is a constant thing where even as I've tried to be off it more, I need to be on it more though, because my business, in order to grow it, like I have to do all this stuff on the Instagram side of things. And so it's like a struggle of like, man, I deleted Facebook, the app off my phone. So that was one app where I'm like, cool. So, and, but then I'm on my computer all day long. So I have Facebook in a tab. So it's more
it's
like
pointless.
When I'm not working, then I'm not on Facebook. So I do miss some things, but Instagram, I look to see, can I use the desktop version? No, it's garbage. Like what I need it for, it's not. So I need to have it on my phone, but I always get these ads for, it's called like a brick phone. And it's these, which ironic that their ad is on social media, but they're like, we were using our phones too much, so we developed a different phone, like a dumb smartphone that doesn't go on social media.
Yeah.
Then I was like, well, who is doing the social media ad for you? Because you are using your brick phones. But I always think that would be really fun. But then more so, I tested that out a couple years ago where I had a burner phone is the easiest way to say it, but like a prepaid phone, and I bought a SIM card adapter so I would move it over to the cheap phone. And then when I was, because for what I needed it for, I'm like, if I'm at home, I can use Wi-Fi on my phone, the iPhone. So I tested that out, but I got more hate from family and friends that are like, why is it green when I text you? Why is it not blue? So I was like, oh, it's too much to explain. And so I got tired of that. So I was just like, oh, just keep it with the iPhone. But man, how about yourself?
See, well, and within that whole green and blue thing, I'm that guy too. Like, I've got a friend of mine that
friend?
People deal with this. It is a green friend, yes. Well, they didn't used to be green. They used to be blue. Because they had, at one point, they had two phones. They had one for personal and one for work. And so, in which I was complete, you know, understand, it's like, you know, no big deal. And, like, Anyways, I had both their numbers. I had both phone numbers to it. And I was like, I don't like this green. I'm going to contact you on the blue, which was their personal one. I already had that anyways. And so then they ended up telling me is that, if I remember right, they gave that phone, I think they either one gave that to their son or broke it. I can't remember specifically. This was a while ago, a couple of years, I think. I'm losing track of time. But anyways, so now I got to deal with talking to them on green phone. And I see that, and I'm like, okay, it's cool to conversate with you and all these things, blah, blah, blah. I don't like the green. And green's my favorite color.
Even though you just said it's your favorite color, green. Right?
Yeah. I think it's just because it's so bright. This is
Probably Apple does that on purpose to try to like pit us against each other. You know, like the pressure of like, you want to be blue, blue and gray. That's how you got to be.
You're not one of us, right? So yeah, I think time waster. I can't particularly say that I have a time waster. And well, I guess if you take it in a negative aspect. I would say that it would be, well, video games, but I don't really do too much. I mean, probably an hour or two at best, you know, a week or so. You know, I'm finding more enjoyment out of reading and writing and, you know, all those things. So, I mean, I barely even touch my console anymore, but, I can't say that's a big time waster because I don't really touch it too much. But if we're taking it in a positive way, as in leisure, what do you like to do to kill time? My answer is the same. You know, read and write.
I would say maybe your full-time job is a time waster because you're supposed to be doing your own business.
Oh, it totally is a time. Yes, it absolutely is a time waster.
You're like 40 to 48 hours of my week are spent in a factory where I could be making a Bible Institute.
Right.
I don't get paid enough to be here.
Next one.
Yeah, so let's go with the blue, because I don't have those. Which one's the blue? What's that supposed to be?
Personal beliefs.
Personal beliefs. Okay, it says it down at the bottom. Do you...
It tells you the category at the bottom of each one?
Yeah, I just noticed that. The red doesn't, and the green does. The yellow does, but you can barely see it, because it's in yellow. All right, so seeing if it's cheesy first. Oh, this is a good one. This is a really good one. All right, so not just personal beliefs, but what's the word? It's in high school. Current events. There you go. We'll go with current events. Ooh. Do you think it's a sin to use Jesus or God's name as part of a curse or swear word?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Do not take the Lord's name in vain, right? Yeah. It's going along those lines, right? Like in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, this one doesn't give any verse reference here, but I would say so. And what's interesting about the vain part, it's been a while since I looked into this, but I'm content with this answer. I mean, it seems to be unanimous. That's the word I want. Unanimous. But in vain, like when I years ago, I was like, you know, what does it mean to take God's name in vain and to use his name? Well, yeah, I guess what would be, you know, part of this cursing thing is to use his name in any other way other than its intention, other than, you know, to identify God, speak to God, you know, various, you know, thus says the Lord and so on. But even saying that God told me to do this, is taking in vain. Or you think of, I'd have to brush up on my history. I could be wrong on this. Well, I know the Crusades, for an example, did this, but I also was thinking firsthand, the medieval period, which I think that's the same thing. I'd have to go back and check my dating, but to go to war in the name of God, the Crusades, for an example, that was done in vain. God never told them do this. I mean, they took that on their own, and I can't speak too much on the Crusades. I haven't studied too much on it, but bottom line is, I mean, doing anything on behalf of or speaking for or even using his word as a swear, yes, all of that is taking God's name in vain. And Michael, like you said, I agree with you. That's not something that should be done. I think for myself, there are some. Go ahead.
Oh, even the word geez, when I grew up, that was short for Jesus.
Yeah.
So we were not supposed to say that either, which was like, ooh, interesting. So like part of these though, like I just grew up never saying them. So I'm like, it's so easy not to, but then even my younger sister, she went off to college and then like she comes back saying, OMG, you know, just saying the full thing. Yeah. I'm like, you were not raised like this. It's the people you're around. You let them influence you. Like, oh, it's frustrating because like to them, it's, you know, they just say it. Even people I've had on my podcast that are Christians will like all of a sudden say that. And I'm like, okay, excuse me. Like, I know it's maybe not a big deal to you, but I hear that. I'm like, language is important.
Yeah. And there's two aspects to that come to play. Either one, and I don't want to just, you know, I'm not discrediting your audience, but because I think it's a universal thing, is when people do that, either one, I would say that there is a shallow view of who God is, and also cultural influence for myself. I mean, I slip up here and there, you know. For an example, you know, I don't work in a Christian environment. I work in a factory with a bunch of guys, and there's some vocabulary that slips out, and every single time, I personally can't even think of a time where it hasn't, but every single time in which there's that slip up from me, I think it was like, you know, why did I even say that? You know, whatever particularly it was, like, you know, I'm very ashamed of that. So, I mean, there can be influence, but it can all, the two aspects, either influence or a shallow understanding of who God is. And both, well, you can argue it one way or the other. I mean, they could work together, you know, work separately. But I think that comes into play too. But that is my two cents on that. So I'm going to try to keep my conversation short per card because there's so much here that we could talk about. Anyways, continuing.
Online it says 100 plus hours of connection in a box.
100? Oh, wow. Well, see, and that also depends on how many people are involved. Like if you're doing this in some you know, youth group and setting, you got like 20 plus kids, like we can easily turn that 100 into a couple thousand. We're only going to get through two cars.
Question. Yeah. On the box, it shows a family of four. Five. Family of five.
It shows a family?
Mom, and dad, and two kids. On their website, they have it.
Oh.
Oh, they're all praying around.
Okay, I was going to say, that's false advertisement, because I don't have that. Why are we praying around?
I guess the dad has a Bible in front of him, but if you look, briefly, it looks like they're praying to the cards in the middle of the table. I'll send you the picture later. I was like, ooh. Right.
Well, okay, the benefit to this is you've got quotes here from D.L. Moody. Not about the cards, but just in general. You got a quote here from D.L. Moody. 1 out of 100 men will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. Augustine, or Augustine, depending on where you're from. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. MacArthur quote here, which is pretty much the same thing as Moody. You are the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read. C.S. Lewis, final quote here. Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. So I first began reading those thinking they were some sort of citation. Hey, these cards are great, but nope. All right, so what's going next? What cards? Red, blue, green, yellow, purple, aqua, green.
We want a cheesy burgundy one. We've been waiting. Bring on the cheese.
Where would the cheesy one be? I would say... I don't know. What do you say? Blue? Personal beliefs? I'm going to say they're in the personal beliefs. We'll hunt those down. We'll go through... You know what? I'm going to go to red because I want a cheesy one. All right. Okay. We're going to stay away from red for right now. You know, like red is dangerous.
Those were the hard ones. We did one red one. And ooh, that was a little more.
Focus. Well, I want to find these cheesy ones. I want us to at least get one down. As a Christian, what issue does discrimination raise? And how should you address them? Oh, that's another easy way to answer.
First thing I would think of is love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you're discriminating against someone else, and then even taking it to God created humans in his image. So... not even know it. What some guy was telling me, and it was going along Ken Ham's, we're all of one race, but he was telling kind of preachy that to me, because I was telling him he was learning Spanish. I said I grew up with a friend who spoke Spanish, so I'd go to events with him and they'd see that I was like a tall white kid and they just switched to English, and I'm like, I was so annoyed because I wanted to practice Spanish and they just knew like I'm not a fluent speaker, and he's like, we are all one race, and I'm like, dude, I know that line of thinking. But there is a difference, and you can see it very clearly.
Did you have these, you said the Spanish group of people, right? Is that what you said?
This guy was trying to learn Spanish, so he'd go to like the Spanish church. So I was just telling my own experience of going to different Spanish events growing up.
Okay. See, because what was popping into my mind right there was thinking of somebody's Spanish, you know, trying the whole American accent, and then I can't even remember what culture uses this term. It might be a Southern term. I can't remember. But just, you know, looking at trying to speak, you know, American or white knees, whatever you want to call it. You know, just try, you know, trying to fit in, and they're like, you know, seeing this white boy here. He's like, how you doing, honky?
Yeah. I'd always be ready to be like, hola, mucho gusto. You know, like, hi, nice to meet you. And they'd look at me. Hi, how's it going? I'm like,
get a practice. You know, there's actually a what's interesting is I have a friend of us who's Spanish, we haven't talked in a couple years. He's been doing missionary stuff, and he's working second shift. Been, you know, so it's pretty much been impossible for us to continue that friendship. And I don't have his number anymore. Or social media. He got rid of social media, and I think he like broke his phone or something. Anyways, but he's there. He exists. He's around locally. Not 100% sure what's going on. But anyways, besides the point, he's Mexican. And was really cool. He actually shared with me at one point that, you know, the term gringo?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's apparently, like, and I mean, it's, I'd have to, I don't know, I'm not too concerned about it, but I thought it was really interesting, the origin of the particular word. I can't remember where, what, like, maybe Vietnam, I don't want to say Vietnam. Anyways, bottom line, his military was in Mexico. Mexico didn't want military in there. Military, the American military, of course, wore green outfits. And so they would say green, referring to the military or army or whoever it is wearing green. Go. In other words, you and the green, get out of here. And so that's really where the term gringo comes in. I don't know why I was thinking about that yesterday or the day before. So, I've got a gentleman I work with that's, well, he's like the whitest Mexican you'll come across. He's mixed, but, you know, growing up here in a local area, like just about every single Mexican or black, or, well, I can't say black because I got a friend of mine that I grew up with. He is both by skin color and by personality, he is the blackest guy you will ever meet. Super funny, really great guy in my opinion. But yeah, there's like no white nature of any sorts within him. But besides the point, this guy I work with, his last
name.
You're
gonna get us kicked off.
I know, I totally am. But anyways, he's half Mexican, and I just randomly asked, like, you know, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, but I'm curious. You know, he's got, his last name doesn't sound Spanish, and it's like, you know, where's your last name come from? I mean, is it, because I've personally never heard of it before. And so he says, like, oh, it comes from my dad. He's white. Like, oh, okay. But, you know, I think getting back to on topic here, I think the discrimination aspect comes, what issue does discrimination raise? I think, yeah, a lack of love is showing a separation. And I think I actually interrupted you. I think you were talking about Ken Ham. Anyways, continue on with this here is to even discriminate. And I think it's actually in our society today, I think it's used too much. Like my biggest one lately is when and I haven't heard it in a little bit, but calling somebody trans or homophobic, every single time I hear that word, I cringe because I just can't get past the phobic, which is a word referring to, if I remember correctly, Latin for phobia or no phobos, phobia, one of those two. It might be Greek. Anyways, the word itself means fear. And
I'm not, you know, afraid of you. I don't agree with you.
Exactly. And that's what I hate, those terms. It's like, okay, yeah, I don't care if you want to identify me as somebody who doesn't like or doesn't agree with the trans or homosexual community, but don't say that I'm phobic, because that's just showing your ignorance. I mean, I think that every single time. And if I was to ever be put in court and say, are you transphobic, homophobic? It's like, no. Are you ignorant? I would honestly, I mean, I would probably say those words, because that itself really goes to show just how much people, how unintelligible people are. Anyways, my rant is completely done here. How should we address discrimination? One, I would say stop talking about it. It's not going to solve everything, but I was thinking of Morgan Freeman. He was asked years ago, you can find it online. It's like, well, how should we deal with this whole, you know, race issue? I can't remember exactly how it's worded. And he's like, well, stop talking about it. And I agree with that. Most problems with discrimination come when people make it about discrimination. You can disagree with somebody and have it not be a race issue, not be a sexual issue, not be a religious issue, and that be it. But society today, from, you know, my experience, I would point to the left, point fingers at the left. They would say, it's like, well, yeah, you know, you've got to basically align with us or you're intolerant. It's like, okay, well, that's pretty intolerant of you to say. You've got to align with us or you're discriminatory. It's like, well, that's pretty discriminatory of you to say, forcing me to believe what you believe, say what you say, and so on. Doesn't exactly seem fair. anyways, I think the reality of how we can address them, this is a really big question. I think the issue of how we can address these things is really just says like, well, that's sin to even to one point fingers and to even say it's there, when in reality it could not be. It might just be your complete ignorance. But also at the same time, if it's a real thing, if somebody truly is being discriminatory, it is absolutely sin there. It is personal. You are separating two types of people, putting them into these categories. I mean, yeah, we've got different cultures, ethnicities, and so on, but you know, Ken Ham, Michael, you've mentioned it already. There's one race. There's a human race. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Spanish. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're Mexican and Spanish, by the way. You know, skin colors don't matter. None of it. So, that's my rant.
It goes back
Michael,
to that.
Do you have any thoughts?
Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. You know that one? No. Someone listening knows it.
No.
Jesus loves the little children.
And I didn't grow up.
It was like red and yellow, black and white. I was like, I always thought of like the rainbow colors. I'm like, these are real intense colors. But it's supposed to be like, you know, a nice way.
Just every single color.
He loves everyone. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. See, and I never even grew up with any of that stuff. I mean, I mediocrely grew up in the Catholic Church. I'd say
they don't.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk more about that. Oh, and, yeah. Well, and it wasn't like you know, so far into it that I was like your I don't remember what the term is, the candle boy, altar boy. That's what it is. But you know, I've got a base.
They're the ones.
The reason is, yeah. Yeah,
I was gonna say they're the ones that get preyed on by those creepy Catholic. I don't even know what you call them. The men in charge
pray.
Of these churches.
Yeah, the heretics, false converts,
spellings.
Well, not false converts. Yeah. Well, yes, I book. Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so I didn't have
church.
The. That is true. That's a good one. I'm going to have to remember that. Michael,
I
don't know if I should say bless
your heart
right now. If
you have not been offended yet by this episode, you will be offended at some point.
You know,
it's because of these cards, so it's not any of us.
Let's go to another card here. Okay.
They're right, though. They get you talking.
I just picked a blue one here. To what extent do you think the amount of time, money, what to extent do you think the amount of time, money, or skills you give I got to read that again. I'm getting confused. To what extent do you think the amount of time, money, or skills you give indicates your priorities? I don't completely understand. That's confusing me. Is that question worded wrong?
It's a little confusing. I think it's trying to say, like, based on where you spend your time, what does that show about, like, where your priorities lie? This is kind of what I'm thinking. But we can skip that one if you want. Yeah, let's just skip it.
Let's just skip it. I don't want anybody to know what my priorities are.
Well, we already know where we waste the time. So.
You know, that's good. I was right. I was. Let me see if I can find it because I saw this. I shared it a couple days ago. I have. I'm throwing myself under the bus on this one. If I can find it, there was. It's related to books. I've noticed. It said something about. Here it is. Okay. It's credited to C.S. Lewis apparently. But it says the book bill, your book bill ought to be your biggest extravagance. And my comment to this was, don't ask me about my spending habits. Now, to my credit, benefit, defense, most of the books I have has been a collection I've accumulated over the past years. And quite honestly, I have there's a ministry I support and. on because of my support to them, I get free resources, little pamphlet books, just on the, you know, short information on a particular topic of the Bible, and as well as books from the author himself. And so I actually remember. So there's quite a few from a particular author in which I have been freebies more or less. But I remember I was telling a friend of mine, because they get them too, and I was like, you need to tell this person to just stop what they're doing, because I'm running out of space on my shelf. And so that's one of the reasons why I had to get a Kindle, is because I was running out of space. But I've already got like probably about 10 books on there. Most of them are part of the whole unlimited free trial thing that Kindle Unlimited is what's called. Kindle Unlimited free trial, or 90-day trial. I can't remember what it is. And so, yeah, that's my justification. So, good. All right. Let's do another blue one. What do you think? Okay, here's the cheesy one. This is super cheesy, but I think for, you know, I don't know. I would say something about the audience. They're the only ones that can really say yes or no to the claim. So I was going to say, you know, someone in the audience might be wondering this, but I can't say that. I don't know. You know, some people might be, you know, young in the faith. Some might be old, or it could be old if they're old in the faith. I don't know. Anyways, besides the point, very tough question, Michael. We can skip this one too, if you want to. What do you think a person would need to get to heaven? Would need to do to get to heaven? It's like Bible 101.
Romans 10:9-13 is a good start. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for you.
Lord, yep. Yeah, and that's why I said they're kind of cheesy here. This one's an important question. I think because it has this do in there. What do you think we need to do? So we ultimately, and society itself, I mean, the Christian community has become a system. I wouldn't say overall has become works-based, but there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians that think I've got to do certain things, or well, those outside the church, for an example. I've heard it said, well, you know, I need to get my act together, do these things before I can come to church. So they have, you know, I have this wrong understanding that I've got to do works before I can be considered worthy. And the fact is that we're not worthy. That's why Jesus came. But yeah, that's the only thing that we need to do to get to heaven is repent of our sins and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we'll be forgiven and given eternal life. Okay, so let's go to a yellow one. See if that's not cheesy.
Your faith journey.
Yeah.
These are the personal ones too.
Are they all personal here?
Well, it's your faith journey, so it has to be a heart.
Your faith, my faith journey. My faith journey or your faith journey?
Everyone's. I don't know. What does it say?
Everyone's? I don't know. I think there's a delay with this audio too. I don't know. Have you noticed that at all? I'm getting to know you.
It's like a second.
There is. Well, see, and then it'll be super easy to, you know, shift in the... Oh, this is going to take a lot of editing, actually. Oh, well, I'll do it. Anyways, this question here, looking at your life so far, where do you think God is leading you?
I would say I think where I am right now is where he's leading me, but it doesn't mean that it is easy or simple or fun all the time, but kind of in this path of working for myself so that, because I thought I do want to get married, I do want to have kids, I want to buy a house, property, all of that, but I felt like, which you're not supposed to say, but I do think God is leading me to get to a point where I can provide for myself and a family before I'm going to meet, say, the person I'm going to marry, before these things can move forward, because, like, logically it makes sense, but at the same time, if I meet someone, it's not going to hold me back from being like, sorry, I don't want to date you because I don't have a career going yet. But I think I'm headed in the right path, because for what I think I'm supposed to do of like working for myself, I've lost almost all the other jobs that I could have had. And so now I'm like, okay, God, you took all those away. And now what am I left with? My own business. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah. See, and I would say that though that itself it depends on the person. I can't say it's an absolute yes always, and it's sometimes or something like that. Because in one sense, let's take your family thing as an example. You know that we. You know what? I can't do that because I don't have your mind of thinking. I'll take my example here. I think, as preparation goes, I was originally thinking that, which I think I've shared with you in the past, that I had a calling to start a website development business. And this was years ago. I don't remember what the dating is, but you know, I felt that to be a calling on my heart. And I went to school for these things, had a basic understanding of certain things and, you know, everything related to it. But then I came to realize, like, this is a couple years ago that I noticed this, maybe about five or so, but maybe a little longer, is that all of those experiences that for the website development, the basic education and graphic design and all those stuff, I think were really preparing me to establish this ministry project. To know really the basics of websites, of cameras, of microphones, all that stuff related. I think that he knew for sure that you need to go here, you need to go to school for this, but this is not where you're going to be. So I think that would come into play with what God has. So I mean I would actually throw that to the audience is where you're at. Might not be where God, it's where you need to be. It's where God wants you to learn a particular thing or fulfill a particular duty, whatever that might consist of. But it might not be long term. And I mean, that's case by case. That's not something that's always absolute. But I would say, you know, based on my own personal experience, I would say that could be a potential, is maybe this is just a learning period for something greater that God has in store. And audience, only you know that answer. Only you and God do. Well, actually, only God does, because you don't know what's in store. But yeah, so my answer for this, where do you think God is leading you? I would personally... And, you know, time would tell, and I've talked about this in the past, really to people. Michael, I think you're one of them. For me personally, I have a passion for the Word. I would love to be in the pulpit. I would love to be in the classroom, sharing what I know and preaching and teaching the Word of God. But biblically, and I've talked to my personal pastor on this, and I mean, we're both in agreement on it, is that these things need to be recognized by a church to recognize that these are truly spiritual gifts and these are callings. And that's a whole nother discussion in its own. But I think that personally, before somebody does teach specifically scripture, at least in an official setting, I personally do believe that it should be affirmed by the church. Otherwise, you're doing it because you feel as if you're qualified, when the reality is 90% of pastors these days are not even qualified. But yeah, anyways, that's my passion, and that's what we're doing here with Christian Cornerstone 412 Ministries, is doing what we can to equip the saints for the work of ministry and build up the body of Christ. In other words, equipping you for the ministry. That's my bottom sense. So, I think we got time for maybe one or two more questions, you think?
Yep.
I'll let you pick the color. What's going on next?
Maybe green.
Actually, green? All right, pick another color, so that way I'll actually put the rest of these away. And so you can either pick a, you know, red, blue, green,
a red
yellow,
one,
whatever
too,
you want, or
because
two green.
We haven't done many of the reds. Those are the hard ones.
That is true. That is true.
We got to clean the rest of these up here. We're in it for the. We can be challenged on the spot.
And challenge isn't always good. Even if you fail at that challenge, you still learn something. Like, and I got to side with Captain Kirk. I don't believe in no-win situations. We might not win in the way we expected to, but there's still a win there. Even if you like to lose or fail, you know, however you'd like to word that, there's still something that you've gained from that. So I would personally say that those are wins. So I have these two cards. Since you said green first, we will ask the green first, and then we will go with the red to wrap us up. No, because we just did that one. This one's a whole discrimination, equality rights question. So I'm skipping that.
We spent like 10 minutes on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all they have for a world around us. It's all limited to like...
Skipping that one. Skipping that one. We've kind of covered these questions here. Come on, man. Give us a good one.
How weird would it be, though, if you're like doing this with friends and family who you think you're all on the same page, and then you're playing this game and you're just like, oh, you do not know what you're talking about at all. Like,
Well, do they have a family edition, don't they? Because you've already established dating
on their website.
Because you wanted to.
This one shows it can be for family. Like the promo photo is like family friendly, showing families.
Okay.
Your grandma, your kids, mother to daughter.
Okay, so there might be one for family.
With your in-laws. It can be used as private devotional.
Okay,
too.
So here's this question. That would be kind of weird. All right, how might you notice that someone needs help?
That's kind of broad, but I think normally, so if you're watching someone's face, like you would see it in their body language, most likely. And I guess it can depend on like what kind of help is it they need to help reach in something. But I think a lot of times just if someone looks really sad, that's maybe a good time to be like, hey, is everything all right? So I don't know like if that applies, but...
See, and I think it can be, I mean, yeah, those are aspects, and it can be, I would say ask, because some people, you know, keep to themselves, some people are good at hiding the fact that they might need help, and we, you know, it could, anything, I mean, which they need help, you know, I need help figuring this out, I need help dealing with the person I'm in a relationship with, I need help dealing with my finances, I mean, different various things in which people need help with, or I need help understanding this particular passage of scripture. So I mean, I think really the best way to do is like, hey, how are things going? Is there anything you're struggling with that, you know, you're trying to figure out? It's not always easy, and you don't want to go up to some random stranger and say, how can I help you? But, you know, to
they always ask me for cigarettes. So I'm like, I cannot help you.
Well, I mean, maybe you start keeping a pack in your back pocket. Well, see, and I would actually say don't, because like I used to be a cigarette smoker, and I've had people over the years. For example, there was an individual, I don't know, last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. They wanted me to do them a favor and go get them a pack of cigarettes. And my personal rule is... regarding that, if you want to, you have to go do it, because I won't encourage that. And with alcohol, I'm the same way, but yeah, I'm the same way with alcohol, but I personally we'll take a sip. There's nothing inherently sinful with alcohol, but drunkenness is when that red flag comes in. And there's a bottle sitting in my freezer. It's really great flavor, to be honest, butterscotch. And I personally don't like the taste of alcohol, too. That's personally my reason, aside from drunkenness. The reason why I'm opposed to alcohol is because it just tastes so disgusting. and... So there's like only one thing that I like, and it's got a butterscotch flavor. So I'll occasionally take a sip, then stick it back in the freezer. I've had the same bottle in my freezer for the past 2, maybe 3 years, and it tells you how much. It's still a full bottle. But when that tells you just how much I don't, I don't drink. Anyways, yeah, I think, you know, don't keep the pack in your back pocket. Don't be that encouraging. Somebody wants to ask you for a smoke, well, or a drink, considering that is like, well, I'm sorry, I don't have a bottle on hand. I don't have a lighter or anything on hand. It's not something I endorse. So you're going to have to, if you want it, you'd have to go do it. So, that is my two cents. I think as far as help, yeah, I mean, just ask. I mean, if you see someone struggling, I think you mentioned that earlier. Just ask him. He's like, you know, what's going on? You know, is everything okay? And if they give a hint to it, I mean, usually when people say, hey, how are things going? It's like, oh yeah, I'm doing good. 90% of the time, they're not. And be like, hey, you know, you sure? You know, you kind of look a little rough. You know, whatever it might be is, you know, is there anything you're struggling with? Need to talk? Need to vent? Need help? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'd say go from there. Crack the ice. Break that ice open. All right, so here is our question for Red.
Is it a hard one?
Oh, I feel like I'm in elementary school right now. No, oh, it is so hard.
Maybe I know a Here's song to go along with it. You won't know it, but...
You probably do. You probably do. Here's the question, and take your time to think about it, okay? You want to make sure you've got a really solid theological answer for this, okay? Where is God?
In the heavens. Right? Is it more complex than that? Watch him have
I would put that in there. It says the answer here, God is everywhere. Citing John 4:24. Okay, yeah,
that's like the...
Yeah. And it's like, that's yeah, like John the, 4 and then Isaiah 40.
Like that annoying kid 22. That's like, actually, he's everywhere. And you're like, okay, yes, but right. Depending on how you're asking that, do you mean...
Yeah, and I think that it's a very good point. Like, you take this pantheistic view related to Star Wars, the essence of the Force is in everything, like literally in things. And I mean, that's not God. His presence is everywhere. It's all around us, but it's not in
the
cough drop that I'm staring at on my table. Anyway, any idea when? Where?
Where? No, well, it was some, I don't know if you had shared it, but this idea where they're like, I saw God in the bird as it flew, and it was God speaking to me, and it was like, well, maybe he's speaking to you through that, but it's not like God and, hi, I'm going to be a bird today, just so that I can get to you. I think we did, I don't know, or maybe it was offline, or maybe it was someone else in my circles, but it was some weird, like, people were trying to attach all this meaning to everything in nature, and that is where it gets kind of like, yeah. Okay, you're headed down some sketchy roads there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so those are kind of a red flag area, because that's this whole New Age spiritualism, so to speak, mm-hmm. And which is completely contrary to... well, all the New Age stuff is. We'll have to talk about that at some point. So I think that's really all the time we have, unless we got... Well, no, we'll kind of cut it short there so I can edit this and put the intro and all that other good stuff into it. So do you have any closing thoughts before we close this out, Michael?
Yes. I would say on that second-to-last question about the asking for help, I found even... Like, I go to the gym usually 5 to 6 days a week, and I made a new friend that I see. Like, a lot of people go at the same time every day, and I see all these people. And I'm like, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, we know each other, but we don't ever say anything. So I just asked the guy, I'm like, you wear fancy clothes, where do you work? And now we're kind of friends. And I'm like, wow, something so small. And then when I'm swimming, the lady next to me was finally like, we talk all the time, but what is your name? And I'm like, oh, that's fun. So it's like really small things you can do, which may not seem like you're helping, but at the end of the day, you're creating bonds. Like, you're showing the love of Jesus. You can do that through like being friendly and kind. And
right.
Like, most people, when you go to the gym, like, I don't want to talk when I'm working out. So this is all like post working out, which I'm like, we can talk if we're changing or, you know, taking a break, but these little things can actually make a huge difference in your own life, but also in their life of maybe they don't have a good family life or they don't have friends. And like, you're not necessarily being their friend, but you can show them some kindness and some love. And so I'm like, it's so weird because there feels like there's always a big hurdle to not do that. You know, I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm like, okay, Michael, right. You can say hello and then figure out their name. So I think that's what I would end it with. Like, see in your own life, are there like small ways where you can share, you know, the love of Jesus with other people? And it can simply be by striking up a conversation with someone at the grocery store, if it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so before we go into another tangent on either party, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to close us out.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider supporting this ministry. You can do so in a number of ways. You can comment and rate the show. Your interaction will help us improve the show and also help others find us. You can share the show and ministry with your friends in order to help strengthen their walk of faith. And finally, you can support us financially by becoming a supporting member. Members will have early access to content created, as well as discounted or free material as a special thanks through our Patreon platform. And that's not all. As a supporting member, you have the chance of being invited onto the show as a special guest to share your own story. I'm Michael White, and this is Christian Cornerstone 412 Ministry Podcast.